Amen. I'm preaching today on the outwardly focused family. The outwardly focused family. Brother Kyle is going to assist me. So I'm going to be short again, like always, of course. So turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." I think he covered everything, right? "When you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. So shall it be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full." Amen. Father God, we just come before you to hear the word of the Lord. Father, I pray, God, just as our sister shared, Lord, that every one of us would evaluate our walk with you today. God, if there's any evil way in us, Father, I pray that there would be a spirit of repentance. And God, I ask, Lord, that every person in the house, every person watching us online, God, that they would just get real with you today. God, I pray that they would surrender everything today in themselves, lay it down at the foot of the cross. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would walk as servants of the Most High God. We would not fulfill our own way, but we would fulfill the mission that you have called us to fulfill. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to say a few things today that may you may not like. That really shakes me up. So I think most of us know the American family is consumed with entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with having a good time as long as you keep it within balance. But what one generation does in moderation, another generation will do in excess. Thank you. Right? And so what God has called us to do is go and win souls. No, that ain't right. He didn't say go win souls. He said go make disciples. When I was much, much younger in my 20s, I was leading worship. I was teaching a Sunday school class, and I was sitting in the pew. The pastor was preaching, and I think at some point we were standing. I can remember we were standing, and I said, "Lord, what is my ministry? What have you called me to do?" And I said, "I just got done leading worship. I'm teaching a Sunday school class. I'm doing a lot of things for the Lord. But I'm asking him, what have you called me to do?" And the Lord, I'm standing there with my hands raised, and he said, "Look down." And I looked down, and as I looked down, I saw a little boy on this side and a little boy on this side. And if you're a parent, you know why you do that. Keep them kids apart, right? One on each side. And I looked down, I saw my two children who hadn't even thought about the third one at this point. And the Lord said, "There's your ministry." You see, when the Lord tells us to go and make disciples, I think the greatest disciples that we ought to be making are in our home, are eating at your dinner table. Are you implanting, are you taking the values that are in you and instilling it? And do you know, as we just read this book of Deuteronomy, you know what it's sometimes called? The second law. The second law. The law came in the book of Exodus, right? It's when Moses brought the law. Why did we have to hear the same thing the second time? Because they didn't teach their children. That's why Moses had to, for 40 years, they're wandering around the desert. But they're not telling their kids about the God that delivered them. So Moses has to gather them back together and says, I need to give this to you again. You know, sometimes we're dull of understanding. Sometimes we're not listening when the Spirit of God is moving and speaking. And he has to tell us again. Some people said, I don't know why I keep going through the same problem over and over and over. Because you ain't passing the test. It's wonderful, isn't it? The foremost concern of godly parents should be training our children. One of our greatest sins has been the failure to teach our kids the commands and the ways of God. Oh, we bring them to church. We bring them to church and then we rest in that verse in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way he will go and he'll not depart from it. Bringing your kids to church and training them up in the Lord is not the same. That's part of it. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, train up the child, but you be sure that you go in that way also. One of my favorite sayings when you're talking about children is more things are caught than are taught. Your children are going to do what you do regardless of what you say for them to do. Right? Amen. Anybody? I've got Kyle speaking today because my kids are grown. They're adults. They're men. And I recognize that there's an argument that you could make. You could say, well, Pastor, you raised your kids many years ago. You don't know what it's like today. I would say that's nonsense. But, you know, you still may say it. That's why I'm going to bring up a guy that's raising children at this present moment that everybody in this church takes their hat off. Right? You know, on Tuesday morning, Kyle comes to our prayer service, but he rarely comes alone. He brings a 10-year-old boy. You better be doing it right. I remember the first time he brought brought Ben, and I was pretty sure he just come there for that big muffin. Kid won't even sit by me with that muffin. He won't get close to me. I tell him, come sit by me. No. But when we pray in a circle, and when the prayer got to Ben, he didn't skip. He prayed. Now, most of the guys and ladies there are well. Kyle may very well be one of the youngest ones there beside his son. But a 10-year-old boy could have been intimidated to pray among all them adults. And he may have been intimidated, but it didn't stop him. Are you following what I'm saying? We've got to pass this value of the things that we value. One of the versions says impress upon them. You know, when you impress something upon, when you press, like I worked in leather when I was a kid, and you would take a tool and you'd hammer it so that you would leave a mark in that belt or that wallet, right? That's what you're doing in your child. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the Lord? And finally, the angel of the Lord, I believe it was Jesus, he reached down, he touched the thigh of Jacob. And the Bible says he never walked again the same way. You see, I think when we impress upon our children the way of the Lord, I think it leaves an indelible mark in their life that they'll never be the same. I'm a little concerned sometimes when you raise your children up, you send them to college, and I promise you, if you have not done your job with all diligence, that college out there will do it. They will impress upon your child. but it's not the values that you want them to receive. That is the highest calling of a dad. The highest calling of a mom. Hey, Elizabeth, it's good to see you. God bless you. She's been gone for weeks. She's fell in 3 months, hurt her back. Let's give her a hand. Amen. It's good to see you. Now, who knows what I was saying? I have no clue. I'm telling you, I'm just a little distracted occasionally. Great to see you, though. He said that one day you're going to enter that land and you're going to live in houses that you didn't build and you're going to have vineyards. To me, what that said, listen to me, if you're raising children, sometimes a day in the life of a child seems like eternity and the years pass quickly. Before you know it, your children will be out of your house. And you will ask yourself this question, did I teach them what they needed to know? I think every good parent asks themselves those questions. Did I instill and did I impress in them what they needed to know? So he tells us a couple of things that he said. The very first thing he said, teach your children to fear the Lord. You know, Solomon wrote, it's the wisest man on the earth ever. He wrote the most depressing book ever. We call it Ecclesiastes. And he says this basically. He says, I tried it all. Wine, women, and songs, what I always say. I mean, he tried hard work. He tried everything. And he said, it's all vanity, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. But he didn't try one thing. And that was serving other people. Everything he did for himself. He built his own kingdom. He never built a house that was recorded for someone else. He never involved his life in other people. And I find that our generation is so me-oriented, we're doing everything for us. Teach your children a deep respect, a reverence, and an awe for God, for his power and his authority. But the fear of the Lord, oftentimes we talk about the reverence, but if your definition of the fear of the Lord, if it doesn't come to obedience, it's not complete. It's the fear of the Lord is the awe, the reverence, but it leads us to obedience. We fear him enough to say, he's our Lord. I will do. I'll tell you one of the things the Lord has just recently showed me is in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 6:19, where he says you're bought with a price. You're not your own. And it's changed the way I pray for people when I pray for healing. You see, those of you that own things, you know this is true. You take care of the things you own. Don't you? I mean, I put the right oil in my car. I try to wax it. I get Treva to wax it every, no. Well, I try to take care of the things that I own. When something is not right, I take it into the shop. I think that's an attitude that God put in me. And if I'm not my own, but I've been bought with a high price, if I'm not my own, then whose am I? I am his. So now when I pray, I say, God, take care of your body. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Temple of the God, would you take care of your possession? It ain't feeling right anymore, God. And it needs a little adjustment. The second thing he told them, he said, teach them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and strength. I forgot to finish up on Solomon. Most depressing book, but he ends well. In the last chapter, in the last two or three verses, he says, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. I don't think that's taught enough in the church. Fear God and keep His commandments. The fear of the Lord better lead to your obedience. He says, love the Lord. When someone asked Jesus in the New Testament, they said, what's the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments, all the words of the prophets and all the law is hinged on these two things. He's basically saying, I can boil it down to two verses. Love Him and love others. See, if your love for Him doesn't create a love for others, something's wrong with your love up here. It goes vertical first, but it goes horizontal after that. How can you say you love God, but you hate your neighbor? Something's wrong. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's the greatest commandment. And then he goes on, he tells them to obey the commandments. And I debated and debated and debated about this. But I thought, when's the last time we talked about the Ten Commandments in the church? There's a lot of Christians, they could name the starting lineup of the Cardinals, but they couldn't tell you what the Ten Commandments are. I could tell you the first 10 things on the McDonald's billboard. No, So I thought, I'm not going to teach on these, but I want to at least read them to you. Because they're still valid. Thank you. They're still valid. They say, no, we're the New Testament church. Jesus literally said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it because the law is looking to me. So we still believe in the Ten Commandments. The United States of America is built upon these ten. He says, you shall have no other gods before you. Teach that to your children. Teach them that there's going to be times in their life when things are going to push in and it's going to look like it's greater than the God you serve. You see, money in America pretends to be God. It offers you promises, but it's a false God. It will lead you to suicide. I promise you. It leads you to just total desperation. Why? Because when you got all the money you got, see, those of us that don't have a lot of money, sometimes we think, well, if I only had money, then I would have joy. Oh, then I would have peace. No, I'm sorry. It's a false God. It will lead you astray. There's only one thing that provides you peace. Only one thing that provides you joy. And that's Jesus Christ. Don't have any other gods before you. Teach your children. Don't make any idols or images to worship. And I think money is one of those. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And that's more than saying GD. It's using the name of the Lord flippantly. Well, dear God. Oh, my God. Come on, folks. You know, the Jewish people wouldn't even pronounce Yahweh. Wouldn't even spell it out. Right? They'd say Adonai because they thought that the name was too... Why has holiness lost? Why? Have you noticed your Bible? Rarely any of the Bibles anymore says Holy Bible. What happened to the holiness of the move of God? It is still to be holy. The word that you're holding in your lap is the holy word of God. There's no other word like it. When we gather together, we're in a holy moment with the Lord. Oh, number four. Let's forget number four, okay? Keep the Sabbath holy. You ought to have a Sabbath. I'm preaching to myself. The Lord worked for 6 days and then he rested. Did he need to rest? No. He hadn't exerted himself. He did that as an example for us. You need to find your day of rest and keep it holy, right? Don't look at me like that. This woman's shooting daggers at me right now. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. Number 6, and that's, it doesn't say if they deserve honor. Maybe you should honor them when they're not honorable. Maybe they'll come up. He says, do not murder. Jesus added to that. He said, that's being angry with your brother and speaking angry words. Said, do not commit adultery. Jesus said, looking upon a woman with lust in your heart is adultery. He said, do not steal. Do not bear false witness and do not covet your neighbor's things. Do you know, I think probably the greatest theft today is identity theft. Do you know what? I believe very soon the world is going to come up with something brilliant. And they're going to say, we can solve identity theft, but we need to mark you. We need to put a mark. We need to put a little chip in the back of your hand or in your forehead. No one will ever steal your identity again. It will be everything you need. It's coming, folks. We are so close to the end of times. Matthew chapter 25, he says, Jesus is speaking. He says, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. And I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. And the righteous ones will say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Amen. What a verse. Yeah. Whatever you do for the least, when you do it as unto the Lord, you are ministering to the Lord. The Bible says when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. No action is unseeable. The Lord sees you. He says everything is laid open and bare before the Lord. That verse used to scare me. Because I think a lot of times we think we can hide things from God. And I'm going to tell you, you don't hide anything from God. He knows your thoughts. Knows the intents of your heart. He knows your actions. And these people were amazed. But Lord, we didn't do any of these for you, but when you did it for the least of me, and I'm going to throw something out there. You know who I think the least of these are? I think it's that baby in the belly. The least of these are these babies that are not born that we are aborting right and left. When you protect the, I'm telling you, church, we need to get vocal about this. When we protect the unborn, I think we're doing this as unto the Lord. We're protecting what God may be calling the least. You can't see it. It may not even be felt yet, but it is God's creation. The church needs to be vocal on this. We don't need to back up on it. You know, they're sending pills out now. Across the state, doesn't matter whether your state says we don't believe in abortion or not. These pharmacies are just sending these pills out. These ladies can have an abortion in their own home. And many are dying because of it. Good works do not produce good character, but good character does produce good works. Did you get it? We don't work to get to heaven, but there is a fruit of righteousness within us. Salvation produces works. Come on, I'll say it 1,000 times if I have to. Salvation produces works. If you love Jesus with all your heart, if you understand that there is none other but Him, and you, and He has done in your heart a great work, it will compel you to show it, to move it forward, to touch other people's lives. It doesn't, quit waiting for the next big thing. Are you listening to me? We're all saying, boy, when something big happens, I'm jumping on board. No! Let's start doing the small stuff. Let's start loving our neighbor. Let's start going out on Saturdays. Got quiet in here. Let's tell people that Jesus loves them. That there's a better way. Bake your neighbor a cake. Unless they're diabetic, take them a vegetable tray. Model, teach, and celebrate Christ's behavior. When your children do something good, you know, we're pretty quick to discipline them when they do something bad. But when they do something good, celebrate it. Right? Acknowledge, hey, I saw that. I could go on. I ran the Senior Citizen Center for over 20 years. And back in 2009, you guys remember 2009? We had the ice storm. It stopped around the Kentucky state line. You didn't get it, but we got it. And when it came through TVA, it didn't just knock out our electricity. It knocked out everything. It knocked out our phones. The only thing that we had, the only utility that we had was gas. But if you have a gas, if you have central gas heat in your house, it has to have an electric start. So if you don't have electricity, your central gas unit does you no good. So everybody in Callaway County was without power. We couldn't call each other. Cell phones were down. Everything was down. That first night we opened up the Senior Citizen Center to the community, we fed 800 people that night. It was cold. I was cooking on a gas stove that I could light with a match. My wife was holding a flashlight so I could see what I was cooking. We were in total darkness. She was holding a flashlight and I'm making it as fast as I can serve it, man. I'm like, I don't know what this tastes like, but it's hot. And our son was there with us. The only one left at home at that point, I think he was about 16 years old. When everybody else had about a 2-week vacation, we worked 14, 16 hour days. We had 300 people that lived in the Senior Citizen Center for 2 weeks. We went around to all of our homebound residents and we checked on them, made sure that families had come to get them or they were out of that cold house. We found them just walking around, not knowing where they were at in their own house. Brought them to the senior center. They lined cots up in our gym, in our area. We had no running water. They brought tubs of water so we could flush toilets. It's amazing. When the ice storm happened, people still used the bathroom. That did not stop. My son, he didn't have to, but he went to work with us every day. About 15, 16 years old, he became our dishwasher. We would heat water on the stove and we'd pour it in the triple sink and he would wash the dishes as we cooked 14 to 16 hours every day. I think it birthed something in him. That life is not just, you know how teenagers just get self-absorbed? Life is all about them. You got to teach them. Life is not just about you. You are here to serve others. And if you're not modeling that, they're not going to learn that. They're definitely not going to get that from Hollywood. But I'm going to tell you, he got some mileage off of that 2 weeks that he did that. Every letter that he wrote for a college scholarship, he put that, I served in this area. I did this, you know. I'm telling you, he was my only son that when he went to college, he made money going to college. That 2 weeks paid off for him. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God's given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're Christ's workmen. We're God's workmanship. I like the version that says we're his masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Why are you created? Why was Adam created? He put him in the garden, and what did he say? Go to work, boy. Right? Till the garden. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be a servant, your servant. I don't care what your title is. You could be known as Dr. So-and-so. Try using that when you get to heaven. Well, I'm doctor. Well, really, what did you do with that doctorate? God has given you a gift. Come on up, Kyle. Where are we at? Where are you at, Kyle? God has given you a gift. He did not give it to you to impress others. He gave it to you to use for the kingdom. So whatever your gift is, use it as unto the Lord. Are you following me? You've been given a gift. God didn't leave anybody out of that. You've been given a gift. Now use it for his glory. Amen. Welcome, Kyle.
All right, I think I got this one. It's the pink one. Good morning. I really appreciate being able to come up here, and I especially appreciate Pastor's kind words for both me and my children. He mentioned Ben a lot. I'm just going to throw out there, Caroline is right in his footsteps. So she loves to worship. That's her thing. She loves singing worship songs. What's funny, the Lord, he interrupted me this morning. I had written this out. I'm still going to get to it, but I knew it wasn't 10 minutes. You know, I was told, you know, about 10 minutes. It's much shorter than that. And I think that was on purpose, because as I got to church this morning, I was definitely interrupted. We were singing the song, you know, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. And I don't know if you saw me back there. I start pacing when the Lord's speaking to me. You see me back there. I'm running a rut right there in front of that window. But when the Lord starts speaking to me, I start pacing. I get fidgety. And, he was telling me, you know, I've been tending a grave lately. And it's important to note that I'm not in the grave. That part's finished. You know, we're not in the grave anymore. Nobody in this room is in the grave anymore. You've been set free from that. But I realized I've been tending a grave. I've been tending the grave of the old man that had passed away. The new man tending the grave of the old man. And, you know, in the book of Proverbs, it says, as a dog returns to its vomit, the fool returns to his folly. And I don't believe anyone in this room is a fool, but I believe everyone in this room has the capacity to do foolish things. I just wanted to encourage everyone today that we aren't made to be tending a grave. That, you know, we, the giant may be slain, but we need to stop bringing fresh flowers all the time. So anyway, he worked on me, and I probably didn't do it justice. I'll write it down. I'll turn it into a message someday. We'll see. But anyway, so like today, I appreciate those kind words. And what's funny is I went to a men's breakfast a number of years ago, and there was a statement made that said, fathers and grandfathers, you ask your children, ask your grandchild, who is the most spiritual person you know? And if they don't say your name, you have failed. And, you know, that's heavy to hear. And at the time, I was like, well, that's ridiculous. How can I compete with you know, different pastor at the time? How can I compete with Pastor Eric? You know, how can I compete with my own father-in-law? How can I compete with Dale? How can I compete with Dan? How can I compete with the other men in this room? And I realized over the course of the last few years of raising Ben, you absolutely can. And it's not a competition, first of all. But you can absolutely be the most spiritual person in your children's lives. And it starts with being here, being in your word, and being in prayer. So I'm just going to dive into it here. All right. Sorry, I'm not like Pastor. I need my notes. He gets down there and he'll just spitball whatever he needs. And I'm like, how do you keep track? I can't do it. But one of the things that I've learned as a dad is that children naturally think the world revolves around them. Honestly, there's probably a few adults that think that way too. But nobody has to teach a child to ask, what do I get? But we do have to teach them to ask, how can I help? Selfishness is natural. Service is not. And nobody has to teach a child to complain. Nobody has to teach them how to avoid work. Nobody has to teach them how to leave their messes behind. Those all come pre-installed, day one. But it takes work on our part to teach them how to be helpful, to teach them how to be generous, and teach them to be responsible. Just like we teach them their ABCs, it's the same way with service. And as us as parents, it's not always easy. It's not always clear when to make these lessons. It's not always clear how to teach these lessons. But it is absolutely crucial that we do. And the reason is because we're not raising children. A lot of people think we're raising kids, but we have that mistaken because we are raising adults.
Yeah, that's
right. You know, we're not raising kids. And you may not see it now, but we are all shaping the men and women of tomorrow. And as Paul writes in Romans, he says, hath not the potter power over the clay? The same two hands that can raise up a mighty man of valor have the same power to raise up a weak and lazy man of poverty. The same hands that shape our Esthers have the same power to shape our Jezebels. And so we're raising adults who are all going to have responsibilities. They're all going to have ministries. They're all going to have assignments. And while they're waiting for those assignments, they should do what waiters do. Serve. So Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Children enter this world so helpless. And from their very first moments, they're entirely dependent on us just to survive. And as they age, they become more and more capable. And if we're not careful, and if we're not intentional, they can end up squandering that capability in favor of helplessness and selfishness. And why? Because that's our natural tendency. So how do they learn? They learn by watching us. They learn by watching us. If your children are anything like mine, they listen to some of what I say, but they watch everything I do. Pastor touched on that earlier today. If they see mom and dad serving, guess what? They'll start serving. If they see me going to prayer, they'll want to come to prayer. If they see me hold the door open for strangers, they'll start holding the door. The key to teaching your children to serve isn't in a lesson plan, and it's not in a church service. It's in the doing, and it's in the heart of the doing. Because the Bible tells us clearly to serve others. In Philippians 2:3-4, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And the Bible tells us clearly to raise up our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. So be sure to teach your children to serve by serving. Because one day those little eyes that are watching you will not be so little anymore. And the child watching you help a neighbor today may be the adult helping a stranger tomorrow. A child watching you pray today may be the adult praying over their own children tomorrow. The child watching you serve today may be the one leading others tomorrow. Because we're not raising children. We're raising future husbands, future wives, future mothers, future fathers, future pastors, teachers, missionaries, business owners, and servants of God. Every day, whether we realize it or not, we're putting our hands to the clay. Because as Pastor said, more things are caught than taught. So if you want your children to serve, let them catch it from you.
Amen. Would you stand with me? You can't go back. You can't go backwards. But you can ask that from this day forward, I do it differently. I know I'm probably every adult that has adult children has stood in front of them and apologized at some point, right? I remember telling my kids, I don't think it will take too many years of therapy for you to get, you know. And we say that in truth because we realize we made a lot of mistakes. God does not want you to live in guilt of what yesterday held.
Amen.
And I will tell you, I think some of the greatest influence in our lives are also grandparents. We don't see our grandchildren but three times a year, and we see them all at once. Dear God, it's a circus. But it's a great time together. And every time before we go there, I'm always trying to ask the Lord, what am I supposed to teach our kids? I really believe that this time, I don't know if the parents will let me, but I feel like I'm supposed to lay my hands on my grandchildren and pray and impart something to them. Paul said he wanted to impart, right, to the Ephesians church. I need to impart something to you. You realize we can do that? Moms and dads, you need to impart into your children, not just impress, but speak. Speak. You know, our words have life and death. And oftentimes we've spoken way too much death. So I want to start today by just offering a prayer of repentance, because I think most of us feel probably like we probably should repent. But I don't want us to stop there. I want to follow that up with a spirit of empowerment to go forward. All right? To leave that indelible mark. You can still speak the word into your children, even if they're adults. And I liked what he said. We're not raising kids. We're raising adults. And when he said that, when he paused, I thought, adult didn't come in my mind, but army did. I thought, we're not just raising kids. We're not raising adults. We're raising up an army.
That's right. Amen.
The end time army. Are you hearing me? We're raising up the end time. We are probably raising the children that will see the coming of the Lord. If we don't see it ourselves, I think we're probably going to see it ourselves.
Amen.
Father God, I come before you today, and Lord, Kyle and I have shared the things that you have placed on our heart, God. And Lord, with what we have shared, God, I feel that as a pastor, God, that I'm supposed to impress upon these people the things of God. Lord, I pray that I do that well. I pray that every person that steps in this pulpit represents you well. God, I ask, Lord, right now, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we may be feeling guilty right now that we didn't do it right, and God, we'll never do it right. But we do ask, God, for repentance. God, forgive us, Lord, for the many times we have messed up. And God, I pray, Lord, more importantly, Lord, I know that it's under the blood, but God, help us as we go forward to use our words wisely, to speak life into our children and grandchildren, to speak hope, to speak the things of God, to empower them to live godly among an ungodly world. God, I pray, Lord, for any person here, Lord, right now that's just feeling tremendously guilty, God, I pray, Lord, remove that from their life. God, Lord, if they didn't get saved, Lord, until their children were grown, God, Lord, we know we did things wrong. I ask, Lord, that as they pray, God, that you would hear them, forgive them, God. And Lord, give them, Lord, that second chance to begin to teach their children the right way. And God, for many of us, we did the best we could and we've raised our children and they're still not serving you. God, that breaks every one of our hearts. Lord, I watch parents weep over prodigals every week. And I pray right now for the prodigals that are in these families. Lord, when you gave us that story, you said something very specific. You said the prodigal came to his senses and he returned home. And I pray right now for every child that's a prodigal under the sound of my voice, these parents that have children that are prodigals, maybe way far off in the pig pen of life. God, I pray your word says that no man comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. I pray, God, let your Holy Spirit begin to draw hard, God. Draw them back to Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, let them come to their senses that there's a better way to do things, God. Let them forsake the old way, God. Let them seek you with all their heart. You said that if we will seek you with all of our heart, you will be found, God. I pray for our sons and our daughters, God, that they would make Christ their Lord and Savior, that they would walk in full repentance, God, that you would do a mighty work, God. Let it be part of the end time revival, God, our prodigals coming back to the God, when they went to the university, Lord, they went as a child of God. But Lord, something happened in that university, God. We surrender that lie in Jesus' name. Let truth arise, Lord, right now, God. Let truth be replace that lie, Lord, that some professor instilled in their heart. God, I pray genuine repentance upon these prodigals. God, I pray, Lord, help us to be intentional about impressing our values, your values in our children, our grandchildren, possibly even our great-grandchildren, God. Help us to raise up an army of God. We call them saved in Jesus' name right now. We use our prophetic voices. We call them in from the north, south, east, and west. We call them back to the throne room of glory right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, would understand the importance of being a mom and a dad, a grandma, grandpa. God, and help us, Lord, to represent you well and help us to serve, whether anybody's watching or not. Help us to serve this community that you have placed us in, because it's for such a time as this that we've been brought into the kingdom. So use us to our full measure in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brother Denny, would you come?
Amen. Don't forget, we'll have an usher at each door. If you want to give to support the mission trip to South Dakota next month, the opportunity to give there. If you're not, if you don't normally give in person, you normally give online. Anything that's given this week online, just select the missions from the drop down, and all of that will go to the mission trip. If you're interested in going, you have until Wednesday to put your deposit in. There's a registration on the app. You go and put your deposit. Secure your spot if you want to go. It's always a wonderful, wonderful time to go and serve others. Amen. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.